Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. This is Pastor Dan Roth. Today, I am joined by Pastor Brian Schulze.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Welcome back to the podcast. You've done the podcast a few times.
Yeah, very excited.
Now, Brian, I want to know, Schulze, is it Schultz or Schulze?
Schulze.
Okay.
Schulze.
Schulze?
Yeah.
Is that the original?
Schulze. Yeah.
Schulze. Yeah. So that's like German.
Yeah.
Yep. I tell you, because Siri just can't get it right when I say your name to call you. And I say, call Brian Schulze.
Yeah.
She's like, calling Brian Schulze.
Yeah,
and I'm
always.
Like, Siri, come on.
Yeah. So it's funny. Growing up, I was always addressed as Schulze, and I just kind of learned to live with it.
You were just like, yeah, that's me.
Schulze is the more common last name. Not too many have the E at the end of it.
Well, Charles Schulze, the creator of Charlie Brown, doesn't have an E on the end.
Correct. Yeah.
So there is a difference.
There is a difference.
And it's the E.
Yes.
How funny. How
and you think because it was there that it would be recognized, but that's not the case.
Not the case? Schulze.
Schulze.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I learned that from Michela.
Oh, yeah. So for those of you, he just dropped a name that, like, you can see, Michela was from Germany.
Correct.
Came over here to the United States, had a family, and was on our maintenance team for a number of years. And,
So she was the one that, you know, obviously having a German last name, it was kind of like, exciting thing as coming in. And then in the process of conversation and saying, you know, growing up always being called Schulze instead of Schulze. And then she showed me the correct way.
Schulze.
Yeah.
Yep. I would imagine. And she had kind of that, you know, very strict German personality too. You know, that's like, you're wrong too.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, just for the record.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, make sure you know.
And you got to put some deep voice into it too.
Schulze.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Crazy. Well, it's good having you back. We've been past couple of weeks in church and even on the podcast last week talking about one thing leads to another.
Yeah, very exciting. It's been a great series. Very excited to be able to go over it again and obviously as we look through the course of our lives and seeing the path where we are today, realizing always there's a set of steps on how we got here, right?
Absolutely. Well, you've been very vocal and open about your testimony when you've preached and talked about where God brought you from. Can you give us the overview? Because I know you were raised up in church in some aspects, right?
Yeah.
But also you took your own path.
Yes. So grew up in church. My parents were separated as when I was very little.
Okay.
And so my mom raising me, took me to church, all of those things. My dad lived a different life. And I've shared this as well with alcoholism, drug addiction, things like that. And because my dad wasn't as involved in my life and my desire to be more like my dad, I chose that path, wanting to fit in with him more. And, you know, I think as a young adolescent, it was just, there were certain desires to have that, camaraderie with my father.
Sure.
And so chose that path and, definitely, made some very poor decisions along the way. And just so everybody knows, even, my dad serving the Lord, been sober for over 20 years.
It's awesome.
And, works here at the church as well and doing amazing things for God. But made some very poor choices and had to overcome lots of obstacles because of those poor choices that I made through drug addiction, through being arrested, having a record, all of those things, and kind of having to start from scratch and always having to, you know, in a sense, live a life to prove myself to be different than what my past says that I am.
Sure. Now, you even had some physical challenges too, that you had heart attacks.
Yeah. So 19 years old, two heart attacks.
I mean, my goodness, who has two heart attacks at age 19?
Yeah. And that, you know, definitely still plays a role. I mean, obviously, beta blockers that I have to take constantly now and, always watching the things that I put in my body and having to be, very aware of what I've done to my body in the past. And, you know, I lived a hard life in the beginning of my life and very hard drugs, lots of them in a very even short window of time. And, just now going forward, understanding that, you know, the effects of my body, although I've been redeemed in Christ, although I've been justified in Christ, although I've been sanctified and continue to be sanctified in Christ, there are still adverse effects that I've done to my body that I have to be very cautious about.
Mm-hmm. Now, talking about one thing leads to another, what made the change for you? Because obviously being raised in church, and you knew.
Correct.
I mean, you had the gospel preached to you. Your mom was a praying mom, told you this is how you should live. But like you said, you had those desires on the inside of you that you made choices along the way that took you down this path. But where was that moment that you said, I don't want this for myself anymore, you know? And I know maybe you were forced into it, or maybe you, but I know that may have been a catalyst to you personally, because unless you personally have that decision that says, I'm done with this, you'll stay in it.
You know, interesting, very much forced into it. I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ at Set Free Ministries, and my mom dropped me off there. And it was a contingency to be able to come back home. I was homeless. I wanted to not live on the streets anymore. Mm-hmm. I wanted to start turning my life around. I'd be lying if I said I wanted to get off drugs, but I wanted the benefits of not being on the streets, right?
Gotcha.
And so went back to my mom's house, and the contingency was, you can come home if you get your life right and you prove to me that you're going to get off drugs and all of those things. And so she sent me down to Set Free, dropped me off. And, you know, I didn't want to be there. You know, it's amazing how God orchestrates things, though. Funny enough, one of the people that I used to sell drugs to at the time ended up being my overseer at Set Free. So there was a connection when I walked in the door, which, you know, God orchestrated, and it was amazing. But, you know, as I was there, you know, as I mentioned before, there was a longing for my father in my life. Mm-hmm. And everything that I did was trying to fill a void of the longing that I had on the inside of me.
Yeah.
And so when I went to Set Free and started reading my word and very much so, they're very strict and stringent on how much you read, the policies. I mean, you know, the path that you're on while you're there, and homework that you have to do every single day. And so as I started reading through the word, and as we spent time in prayer and we spent time in worship, and the Lord started filling that void that I was always longing for, that's when the transformation truly started to take place. And I realized that it was never going to be a drug. It was never going to be my earthly father. It was never going to be my mother. It was never going to be my circumstances that was ever going to fill this void. It was a spot that only Jesus could fill.
Wow.
And once that connection came, I mean, it was like, I'm all in.
That was the new drug for you. That was the new addiction, Jesus.
Is Jesus, yeah.
Wow.
And so, I mean, it literally transformed. And obviously, you know, there was a lot of bad habits I had to overcome.
Oh, sure, yeah.
From my past, and a lot of things that I had to learn along the way. But, you know, and it's funny you say, you know, when you're on drugs, one of the things that you always are chasing is that first high, right? Mm-hmm. With drugs, the more times you get high, the further away you get from that first high. And I actually was just having a conversation with Melissa about this the other day. I think it's because in our mind, we glorify it so much that you're never able to obtain it. Right.
Right.
Was it ever even really as good as you first remember? I don't think so. I think that, and that's why you're always chasing it, because you're chasing something that was never really there.
Wow.
But with Jesus, the amazing thing is it just gets better.
That's right.
Like, you're not chasing the first high. You're chasing, like, man, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. And you realize that the closer you get to him, the greater the feeling of true life actually is.
Yeah.
And so it just came to a place. And you know, like I said in the beginning, there were mistakes along the way. I left Set Free. And, you know, ended up getting back. There was some discouragement, some frustration that took place, and ended up getting high one more time after that. And boy, let me tell you, I was like, wow, this is not what I want. And something happened when the Holy Spirit was living and dwelling on the inside of me. He did not want that in my body. And I realized real quickly, neither did I. And because there was true transformation that took place.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so from that point forward, it was just, it was all Jesus all the time. And I was gonna, the closer I got to him, the greater that void continued to get filled up.
Sure, yeah.
And there was just nothing like it.
Man, that's amazing. You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about the scriptures that we covered, because we talked about how through one man's offense that death reigned.
Yeah.
Right? And we know that because we lived in that. Before Christ, we all were under death's reign.
Correct.
And with that reign came the, like you were talking about, the experiences, right? Yeah. We're seeking that next thing. We're seeking that high. We're seeking that to fill that void. But without Christ, we're never going to fill it. There's a God-sized hole that all of us have on the inside. I love how the book of Ecclesiastes says that God has placed eternity in our hearts.
Yeah.
And yet, we can't find it, right? There's this search that's put on the inside of us that God knew we have a God hole, a space just for him, and eternity's in there.
Yeah.
But we can't figure it out. We can't find it out on our own. So death spread to all through the one man and reigned over us. But, you know, it's funny because sometimes, especially in our society, in our culture, people are always, that's not fair, right? How come I have to live with someone else's choices, whether it's a political choice, whether it's a paternal choice? You know, there's certain things. Well, I didn't choose to be born in this family, or I didn't choose to be born in this nation with all its problems and things like that. And people have such attitude. And I can almost, you know, hear the hearts of people when we read these scriptures, like, well, why do I have to put up with what Adam did? That's his fault. I didn't do that. And the scriptures address this by saying we didn't sin in the same way that Adam did. We weren't presented with a tree that is forbidden for us to eat from, right? However, we all sinned.
You know, it's amazing, Pastor Dan. I mean, I mentioned, you know, my growing up with my mom and my stepdad, Steve, we lived a pretty good life.
Yeah.
They were well off and, you know, I had pretty much everything at my disposal, and I still chose sin.
Right.
And brought up in church and all of those things. So it's, you know, we can always complain about our circumstances. The reality is without Christ, we will still choose sin.
Right.
And it doesn't matter whether you're born in lavish luxury or whether you're born under a bridge, you're still going to have to make the choice for yourself mm-hmm. that you're going to choose to serve Christ. And I think that's one of the things, you know, because I mean, even my testimony can be so much different than others in the sense of, I did grow up in a good home.
Right.
You know, although I was longing for things with my father and when I was with him on the weekends, you know, and drinking and doing those things, but I very much had the choice of choosing the right path and everything at my fingertips.
Right.
Even opportunity for a really good job. When I turned 18, Steve had got me a job through Vulcan Materials and as a lab technician. And I mean, I had everything that I could want and I chose sin.
You still chose it.
Yeah.
I've heard it said that if we were all presented with the same prohibition that Adam was with the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil, that in the same circumstances, the same environment, which remember, Adam and Eve were in a perfect environment and made the wrong choice.
Yeah.
That if we were in that same perfect environment, that we'd make the same choice.
Yeah. I mean, and that's virtually what I did.
Yeah.
You know, I
all
mean, obviously
us.
It's not perfect, right? And that's,
for sure.
And that's the amazing thing about it is we can look at it however we want, but we do have that sinful nature.
We do.
And,
we do.
And whether born into it, whatever the case may be, I mean, you look at Adam and wasn't born into sin and made the choice.
And made the wrong choice, yeah.
You know?
But now think about this, okay? It wasn't your choice to go to set free.
Yeah.
It was your mom's choice.
Correct.
That you had to, right? So again, you could have said, that's not fair. But because of her choice, one thing led to another. And now here you are addicted to Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? Now, that's where I think this gets exciting.
Yeah.
Because if we would say, well, I don't want to be held responsible for Adam's sin. Correct? And we could say, let's say God said, fine, that's fair.
Yeah.
You're no longer held. But then could we be given the gift of Christ's obedience?
Yeah.
Because we didn't obey.
Yeah.
He obeyed. And because he obeyed, we received the blessing of what he did on our behalf.
And is that fair?
Not fair.
Right?
And yet we enjoy it, right?
Yeah, of
so,
course.
Okay. So it wasn't fair that you had to go to set free
yeah.
in order to live in your mom's house. That's not fair.
Yeah.
Right? And yet,
But I'm glad I did.
You're so glad you did. I'm glad you did. I mean, the church is glad you did. Your wife and kids are glad you did, right? But I think that's the amazing thing about Jesus is that, like, here he did something. His one act of obedience. What was his one act? Obviously, the sacrifice on the cross, but I also believe it refers to his entire life. That one act of obeying the Father and saying, I'll go, I'll be a man, I'll live life, I'll fulfill the law, and I'll lay down my life for everyone else. That one act of obedience, right? One thing leads to another. Now, because of his obedience, now anyone who believes.
Yeah.
And this is open to anyone.
Yeah.
All.
Yeah.
Now, anybody who believes, now we get justified and now we get this life. So, I mean, when you think about your life now, the things that you're enjoying, right? We talked about you used to enjoy drinking and alcohol and drugs and, you know, the highs and all that kind of stuff. And you even mentioned that you were dealing, that you got in trouble for that with the law, all that kind of stuff. But looking at now, okay, now that you're on the other side of this, one thing leads to another, right?
Yeah.
So how did you become a pastor at The Rock?
So it's amazing. Ended up through my process of recovery while I was in recovery. It's funny. I mentioned I had really good jobs and I was working at this point. Got through the course of bad decisions again, DUI, all of that stuff. Lost my license. Couldn't work construction anymore. Ended up working at Burger King, and no license, no anything. And ended up hearing about a position here at The Rock. And in that, applied for it, maintenance position. Mm-hmm. And it was in the transition of moving from the old church to the new church. And so we were getting ready in 2003, packing the semi truck so that we can come here and into this facility, and applied to work on maintenance, and, you know, ended up getting the job and just putting my heart into it. And saying, hey, God, if you have me here in this season, this is what I'm going to do. Now, I had different dreams and goals that I was going to do. And so this was more of a stopgap for me.
Gotcha.
My plan was I was going to get here, get on my feet, get surrounded with people of like-minded faith, and get my life back on track so that I can set myself up for the future that God had for me. And not knowing what that was going to be.
Yeah.
And then as time went, you know, one thing leads to another. And so, you know, even the obstacles working here at the church, you know, we face so many different challenges, attacks, things like that, mm-hmm. working here. And, you know, staying steadfast in what God spoke to me, continuing to do things, whether I wanted to or didn't want to, and learning to grow and taking correction when I needed correction, you know, to say that I had it all together when I came here is obviously not the case, right? And so I had a lot of growing up to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, through the leadership here, through Pastor Jim, through yourself, I mean, I remember hard conversations you've had to have with me in your office when you're executive pastor. And so,
I don't remember.
I remember, but it was good, you know, and learning to submit to the authority that was given. And so through those transitions, ended up taking over the food distribution.
Right. Yeah.
And eventually taking over outreach. And again, you know, there, through the course of all of this, I mean, even before I got ordained in 2016, I was still searching for something. God, I want to be in your perfect plan. Mm-hmm. But I had desires that I was looking into, things that I thought, you know, my understanding of where my life was going to go.
Right.
But being fully submitted to God's plan. And I think that was the biggest thing. God, if you tell me this is what you want, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to explore these options.
Right.
But I'm open to hear what you have for me.
Because you had like a handyman business on the side and did construction and, you know.
My plan was to get my contractor's license originally and go and just be a member, be a tither, and support my family and grow business. I love to grow business. And so that was my desire, was to do that. And continuing to just submit to God's plan. Mm-hmm. And even walking away from the business when I didn't really want to. I was making really good money. God wanted me to focus on different things. And so I was able to walk away from the business at that time and focus more on my position here. Got asked if I wanted to be ordained by Pastor Becker and said, let me pray about it with my wife and see if that's the path. Because I don't want to say yes to something that's not God's will in my life.
Sure.
And so we prayed about it, understanding the weight and the responsibility that comes with that. Double judge for the things that come out of my mouth, you know? And so wanting to make sure that this was God's path. And, you know, he gave me his yes. And I mean, just continued to chase after him. And here I am. I mean, if you would have said to me 22 years ago when I started working here at the church that I would be a pastor here on staff, I would have told you were crazy. I mean, at no point did I ever have a desire nor a thought that God would even want to do it, be able to do it. Like, you know, it just, it wasn't even a thought, a blip on the radar.
No.
You know, but seeing what God has done now, I mean, it's amazing.
And along that path, you went to Bible college.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. So God told me to go to Bible college. It's so funny. The first year that he told me, I wasn't obedient. And because my business was doing so well. Mm. And so I just didn't have the time.
You were like,
And so it's like, okay, God, when I have time, I'll do it. So next year enrollment came and my business dried up. And I remember I said, God, I need to pay my bills. I need to pay my mortgage. Where's the work? And he says, what's your excuse now? And so, you know, I had too much work was the problem. Right. Yeah. And so he made sure that I didn't have that problem to be obedient. Man. And so I ended up submitting to what God said. I signed up for Bible college. What was amazing is he doubled my work that year.
Wow.
I was able to coach my son football and I was able to get the grades that I needed to get in Bible college and be able to do all those things because he told me to do it. And I said, yes.
Yeah.
And he gave me the grace, sustained me during that season.
Right.
And just continued to, and again, it's amazing when you do what God says.
Yeah.
And you see the fruit of it. I mean that.
Well, you know, just putting our lives next to Christ, right? The Bible is very clear that Christ is living his life in and through us.
Yeah.
Right? That we live by faith. And that God is going to live the life of Christ in and through us. Whatever he wants for our life, he's going to live it through his spirit which indwells us, right? So just like Jesus had an act of obedience, and it was a sacrifice, right? Yeah. It's a sacrifice to disrobe from glory, to step into humanity. That's a lesser position, right? And I believe that's where Philippians says he didn't consider it robbery to be considered equal with God, because he was God, right?
Yeah.
So, but then he took on the form of a servant, and really the language is more explicit, like the lowest level slave. Took on the form of a servant, lower than the angels.
Yeah.
Right? In power and in ability. And, you know, so here he takes on this flesh, this humanity, but then he lives a life of obedience. And because of that life of obedience, now the many can be justified. Now, part of that with, okay, so you just talked about your Bible college experience. One act of obedience, right? God said, all right, I'm going to dry it up. And you finally said, all right, God, here's my obedience. I'm going to sign up for Bible college. I don't have the money to pay my mortgage, let alone tuition.
Yeah.
But God, one thing led to another. God led you to more business. Not only more business, you paid all your bills, you paid all your tuition, but also he led you to more time.
Yeah.
And God is a redeemer of the time. And I think this is where we get kind of off, like there's only so much time. Time's the only thing you can't get back. But God is outside of time. Otherwise, time would be a greater force than God, right?
Yeah.
And that kind of is one of those things that kind of blows our mind. It's like my daughter talking about how she doesn't like movies that do like time travel. She's like, I don't get it, you know? And so she doesn't like watching those things. And I understand why. Because when I think about God being outside of time and I'm in time, I don't understand how that works, how God can declare the end from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, and known to God from eternity as all his works. Like, I don't understand eternity past or eternity future because we're in this timeline right now. Right?
Yeah.
And yet you read the book of Revelation, it's like, well, wait, this should be here and this should be there, right?
Yeah.
But God, being outside of time, in the fullness of time, can create things and create spaces for us to do more than we would have done without his ability and power on our behalf. And so you're saying you had time to study.
Yeah.
You had time to work. And you weren't just working one job, you were working two jobs, right? You were at The Rock and doing your business, right?
I was at The Rock doing my business as well as working on the side for somebody else when he had extra work, being called in for that as well.
Okay, so let's just add this up. Three jobs.
Yeah.
Two nights a week Bible college.
Yep.
Plus your homework time.
Yep.
And you threw in, you coached your son's football.
Yeah.
Which that's a commitment, a huge commitment.
A huge commitment. And, you know, and just talking about that, Pastor Dan, if you look at rewind to the year prior, I wouldn't have had the time to coach my son's football. Mm-hmm. And I think when we're talking about redeeming the time, you know, the fact that God gave me that time with my son is priceless.
Yeah.
But again, showing me that it's through the obedience that he can make all things work together.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. One of the things that I always like to teach, even in my Bible college class, we are so quick to say no to God because of time, whether it's volunteering, whether it's Bible college, whether it's, you know, what stopping to minister to somebody on the side of the road, or, you know, taking an extra 5 minutes at the check station, right? We always tell God we don't have the time. One of the biggest blessings that I feel Bible college gave me was an understanding that there's always time for ministry.
Yeah.
And God will always make the time, right? And when you're obedient to do it, you realize, one of the Pastor Kobernick's classes on prayer. He first says, okay, well, you're going to pray for an hour. And I'm like, who has time to pray for an hour? Right?
Yeah.
He gives you your prayer points and you realize, like, you know, not only do I have time to pray for an hour, but I don't want to stop praying.
Yeah.
You know, and again, who has time to read more than the daily devotional? But now when I'm reading for all these classes on top of the word, you see that God redeems the time. And so it's amazing through an act of obedience, right? It's not even just about the Bible college.
Right,
it's understanding that when you do what God says,
one thing leads to another.
And he makes it all work together.
He makes it all work. And I think that's where we have to get the understanding that, that oftentimes we get a picture in Christ of a pattern for our life.
Yeah.
Christ's act of obedience opened the door for all of these blessings, the grace in our lives, right? The justification, the great things that we enjoy as Christians. In the same way, our obedience will open the doors for so much more in our lives, you know, and that's one of the things in all those scriptures, you keep finding these much more than, much more than, much more than, much more than, much more than. There's so much more to this life when we take a look at how much God has set aside for those that believe and those that will simply have a simple act of obedience, a simple yes to the will of God. I mean, this is just phenomenal. I could talk about this stuff all day, but I know we're going to be wrapping up here soon. Any final thoughts as we prepare to conclude? Any encouragements for our viewers and listeners?
You know, I just think, you know, I'm living proof of what obedience to God can do. You know, I think one of the things that, I mean, even you mentioned, Pastor Dan, the sacrifice that Jesus gave when he went to the cross. But I always think the unrobing of himself to come in the first place is far greater of a sacrifice. Most of us aren't even willing to do that part, right? Let alone the temporary pain. But when we push past the temporary pain, because it is very temporary, and he is obviously entered back into glory, right? And we see the fruit, and not just the fruit. I think this is the biggest thing. Not just the fruit of his obedience, but we get the benefits of the fruit of his obedience, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about. When I look at my kids, I'm not the only one that gets to reap the benefits of the fruit of my obedience. But my kids get to see, you know, my mom praying for me was a reminder of what would happen if I submit myself to God the same way that she did. And so even though I was choosing a different path, in the back of my mind, deep in my heart, I always knew that there was a possibility, right? And what would happen if? And I think that's where we understand. I mean, even, and I talk about this with Melissa all the time, the call that I know is so important to my life. Not only do I want to fulfill the call for myself, because I want everything that God has for me, and I want to see the benefits of what God does and the fruit that comes from that, but I want my kids to understand the importance of submitting to the call.
Absolutely.
Because if I waver on that, and they see my lackadaisy approach on the call of God in my life, and they do that in their life, you know, and they don't take the seriousness, but they see, and we talk about that all the time. When you walk out of the room and you see you know, someone in their word mm-hmm. through the hard times, yeah. when you see somebody praying through. And I think that's where the peace that surpasses understanding, when everything is crashing down, right? When the world is going to hell in a handbasket and everything is going crazy, but the church is continuing to declare truth.
That's right.
And we see, you know, that's where people will start to really see it's not the words that come out of our mouth, but the life that we live. And I think that's where, you know, in my own life, I mean, to this day, and I've mentioned this in the last couple messages, still trying to overcome some of these obstacles from 23, 24, 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I still see the fruit as I continue to pursue Jesus, not allowing, because sometimes it's very frustrating mm-hmm. that I'm still dealing with some of this stuff from 25 years ago.
Yeah.
But when you trust God in the process and you get to see the fruit in the end, I mean, there's nothing greater than that.
Nothing.
You know? And I think that's just when you get to experience the fullness of God
mm-hmm.
in your life, and you get to experience the not only the, you know, the tangible benefits that we all, but that gaping hole that is no longer there.
Right.
That I no longer have to chase approval of man.
Yeah.
Or the satisfaction of somebody in the natural loving me. Because this is when we see insecurity, when we see depression, all of these things that continue to climb in our society. Man, if we could just fill that gaping hole with Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
The rest of it goes away.
Yep.
And we get to see the benefits of it. So I mean, the encouragement is, continue to chase after him. Because, I mean, who would have ever thought that I would even be doing this?
Right.
Because I have nothing to say, you know, but Jesus has done so much in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gets all the glory for all of it. Because Brian doing things Brian's way ended up in jail, ended up with two heart attacks. I should be in hell right now.
Mm.
That's Brian doing things Brian's way. But through the act of obedience, one thing leads to another. Doing it, applying, you know, the baby steps.
Yeah.
Right? Doing what God says. I mean, the possibilities are endless.
It's phenomenal. And I just feel led as you were talking, just to address our viewers and listeners. You might be feeling that gaping hole on the inside right now. You might be just sensing that I need to make a change. I need something to fill this. You might have been seeking that in approval, like Pastor Brian was, in a parent. Maybe it's been in a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Maybe it's been in your spouse or your kids or an experience, whether it's sports or vacations or, you know, different things that you've done. Might have been drugs or alcohol that you've tried to fill that void. And you're recognizing right now, I've got a God-sized gaping hole on the inside of me that needs to be filled with Jesus. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? If you're driving, just do this with your eyes open while you're driving. But just ask God to come and fill that hole right now. Just say this after me. Say, Father God, please come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my past and give me a future with you. Today, I'm giving you all my heart and life, and I pray that you come fill me. Fill that void in me with your Spirit. I choose to follow you. I choose, like Jesus, to obey. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Well, hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or if that was a rededication, welcome to the family. And we're so grateful for you. We've got some free materials that you can get a hold of by contacting the church offices. Email at rockchurch.com. We'd love to send you some free materials to help you in your walk with God and to continue to stay consistent, because one thing leads to another, like you heard today. As always, like, subscribe, comment, share, all that good stuff. And we look forward to seeing you guys in church or online really soon. God bless.
God bless.